Thanks for joining us. I'm Diane Rehm. Zbigniew Brzezinski is the former National Security Advisor under President Carter. Since then, he's widely consulted on geopolitics. In a new book, Brzezinski offers his views on America's role in the world as the center of gravity shifts from the West to the East. His new book is titled Strategic Vision. Zbigniew Brzezinski joins me in the studio. You're welcome to join us as well. 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. Join us on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Diane.
It's good to see you again and to have you here in the studio.
It's nice to be with you.
You say in this book that there is a crisis for America, a global power. How would you define that crisis?
I would define it in two ways. One way to look at it is in a broad historical perspective. The fact of the matter is that the age of domination of the world by a single power is probably over, and irretrievably so. For a variety of reasons we can discuss, but they have a lot to do with the changing balance of power, a great deal with the new phenomenon that I have been very much concerned with over the last several years, which I call global political awakening. So that's one dimension. The other dimension are the internal stresses and weaknesses of the American system, which have been surfacing and which have been compounded in the last decade or so by a fundamentally irrational and self-damaging foreign policy.
You know, it's interesting. It occurred to me reading through this book that so much of this current presidential campaign has been focused on economic gridlock and economic differences of opinion. Foreign policy has barely come into that debate, certainly among Republican candidates, but yet you see that gridlock within the search for a path toward global identity going on within.
I think we have a serious dilemma as a country. What role do we want to play in the world? Is it that of a global policeman? Well, I should think by now we ought to have learned that's pretty expensive and, in fact, counterproductive. We are bankrupt in part because of the costs of the wars that we have waged and borrowing largely to pay for them. It doesn't help our domestic well-being to be engaged in wars that are solitary, lonely undertakings by the United States.
Give me your thoughts on what you see as the worst problem internationally facing the U.S.
The face problem internationally is the combination, and I don't attach any evil connotations to it, the combination of the sudden rise of Asia, the simultaneous weakening of the West, and the restlessness in many parts of the world against the status quo, which assumes in many cases a great deal of antagonism towards America. All of that, I think, faces us with difficult choices, and we can look at them region by region. But the point is that we have to be very careful not to be sucked into additional conflicts beyond the ones that we're already engaged in and which I hope we're about to terminate.
Do you believe we are about to terminate our engagement in those foreign struggles?
Yes, I do. For one thing, we have more or less completed our withdrawal from Iraq, although the unfortunate, costly war we waged in Iraq has not improved stability within Iraq and has probably enhanced Iran's influence in Iraq. On Afghanistan, I think the president is determined to disengage, but to disengage in a fashion that leaves behind something that can endure with international support, not just American support. And that's going to be tough sledding to achieve that. But I think the next year or so is going to be spent striving to accomplish that, in part militarily, in part by negotiations with the Taliban on a selective basis, and in part by trying to fashion something that I call a regional umbrella for whatever arrangements are left behind when we disengage, with the international community and us continuing financial support. In other words, very different from what happened in 89, when the Soviets left and we simply ignored the ruins that they left behind.
Well, if we look at what has happened in Iraq and Afghanistan, let us assume for the moment that Iran and the U.S. do not reach any kind of détente, as the U.S. managed to do with Russia back then. If that should happen, that there is no détente, what happens to Israel?
I think nothing much happens to Israel, because Israel, first of all, has a powerful deterrent of its own against Iran. And if the Israelis don't believe that that deterrent of theirs is credible, then some people have suggested they ought to offer publicly to give it up if the Iranians give up their nuclear program. I personally don't think this will happen, but I think it's a reasonable argument. But beyond that, the United States has the capacity to deter Iran. We deterred a much more, infinitely more powerful Soviet Union over decades, even though at some moments we came close to collisions that could have consumed in hours millions of lives. We deterred China. We have contained North Korea, which is at least as menacing as Iran. So I think we can do it. And to make the parties concerned more safe, including Israel, I think if needed, and if we don't get some sort of an accommodation with the Iranians, we could issue a blanket commitment to our friends in the Middle East, which include Arab states, especially the Persian Gulf states, and Israel, that any action by Iran or any threat by Iran, particularly one invoking nuclear weapons, would be viewed by the United States as a threat against the United States. That, I think, would have very, very considerable credibility, more so than actually the fear of an Israeli strike.
And you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Dr. Zbigniew Brzezinski is here with me. I assure you, he is not Osama bin Laden. And to Boca Raton, Florida. Good morning, Robert.
Francis, if there was